Well, good morning from me, church. My name's Tom, and it's my privilege to share God's word with you this morning and to open up our series for Lent this year, which has the brilliant name, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It's taken from this book of the same name by John Mark Comer. And if you've read this book already, then you'll already know the amazing truths that it contains for us. And over the next few weeks, we're going to follow in the footsteps of churches all across the country who have spent time looking at it, both through our Sunday mornings and through our midweek book club under the NBC Explore banner on Tuesday evenings. Now, if right now you're a little bit confused about the title of our series, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, then perhaps the subtitle given by the book is a better explanation of what we are going to be looking at on this run-up to Easter. Hopefully you can now see the book cover on the screen, and it says this, the subtitle says, How to Stay Emotionally Healthy and Spiritually Alive in the Chaos of the Modern World. Now that is a subtitle that speaks quite directly into the current lockdown times that we are in. And I suppose as we begin, it's probably worth us thinking back to the first time that we entered into a national lockdown nearly a year ago. Where were you when you first heard about the restrictions that we were about to enter into? We'd seen the scenes from all across the world, scenes from China, from Europe, Italy in particular. But of course, there was this mindset that it wasn't going to be that bad. It wasn't going to create the chaos that we now know it has caused. I had a conversation at Alpha around February time that went exactly like that, where we almost talked ourselves into knowing that it wasn't going to be that bad. But on the evening of the 16th of March, as I celebrated my 27th birthday with my family whilst we had a Chinese takeaway, as a nation, we first heard that we needed to work from home where possible and to stop having contact with people that we didn't need to be close to. Now, that was a bit of a downer to end my birthday meal, but it was also a sign that that was the last time I was going to be able to see my granny for a very long amount of time. We had an urgent meeting at NBC the following morning, where as leaders and deacons of the church, we felt that we had no choice other than to officially close the building to in-person worship for what might have been the first time since the church opened in 1872. I'm sure someone's going to correct me in the comments if I'm wrong on that, but I think from what I can tell, that was the case. I remember now feeling both sad and somber, but also there was that part of me that was secretly looking forward to being able to work from home. I foolishly believed that it would be easier. I'd be able to relax at home. I could work in my pajamas. I could have the TV on in the background. I was able to work when I wanted. For those of you who don't know me, I'm very much a night owl. And I could be creative in making and producing videos for our church. It sounded like an absolute dream. However, that was not my experience. And my guess is that that may be true for you too. Hurry is the one word that best describes my life during this pandemic. There were some weeks when I worked 60 hours for the church on top of voluntary posts with scouts and other organisations. There were weeks when it all went totally wrong and I was up at 4 a.m. on a Sunday morning making sure that there was a church service that could be watched. And on top of that, I have a wife working ridiculous hours in the hospital and a dog that needs looking after, a house to keep going. My life was and still is filled with hurry. And so when I was recommended a book by some friends from Holy Trinity Brompton in London around May time last year called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, needless to say, I was intrigued. And as I opened it up and began to read what John Mark Comer had to say about everything that I was going through in that exact moment, I realized something very stark. I have a problem. And perhaps you at home watching right now know that you have a problem too. I'm sure some of you watching can totally relate to this idea of being rushed around all the time, of being busy with everything that's going on, and you're living a life as full as lockdown allows. But then there may be some of you sitting at home today who are thinking, well, actually, hurry isn't a problem for me because I don't really get up to much. And I'm getting up to even less whilst there are restrictions in place on what I can do. Anything that I did do has been taken away from me, but you know, that's okay because I'm living a relaxed, unhurried life. Well, if that's you, then I want to say to you this morning, please do not switch off now or at any point during the next 6 weeks, because these next 6 weeks are going to be about so much more, and they're going to be so much deeper than just looking at how not to rush around, how not to hurry. We're going to be drawn back to the ways of Jesus, the ways that he taught us to walk in order to be closer to him. And we're going to look at a better way of living, which, if we really practice it, has the power to transform our lives right here, right now. Now, the title of this book and our new series that we're starting today comes from a conversation between the great preacher and author John Ortberg, I'm sure some of you know a lot of his work, and a guy called Dallas Willard, who was an American philosopher based at the University of Southern California. John Ortberg asked the question to Dallas, what do I need to do to become the me I want to be? What do I need to do to become the me that I want to be? And I suppose an even better phrasing of that question is this: what do I need to do to become the me that God wants me to be? And after a very long silence, the book says, Dallas Willard said this: you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. There is nothing else. Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Corrie ten Boom once said that if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. The psychologist Carl Jung said, hurry is not of the devil, hurry is the devil. There's a proverb from Finland that says, God did not create hurry. And John Ortberg, the man who was having the conversation with Dallas Willard, went on to say this: for many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. We will just skim our lives instead of actually living them. I mean, how many people at home watching along right now recognize some of these things? Do you feel mediocre in your faith this morning? Have you found yourself being distracted and rushed and preoccupied recently? I know that I find myself in that position, and even in just preparing for today, I know that things have been less than ideal. It's been an incredibly busy week, and earlier this week, as I was chasing around and I inevitably forgot to do something that I really needed to, I felt God say to me, just stop. Take it easy. You're going too fast. You're missing what I want to show you. And so I became drawn to the verses that take front and center on the opening pages of this book. And hopefully, Tim's going to pop them up on the screen for you all to see now. These opening pages are Jesus' words to us, an invitation to live differently. And these come from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. This is what the NIV says: come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Another translation of the Bible perhaps puts it even better. This is from the Message translation. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I believe today, church, that these verses have never been more important for us than right now. I believe that Jesus is wanting us to come to him, to live in his way, for us to walk with him and work with him, and to learn the unforced rhythms of grace in order to live freely and live lightly. Now, the question that comes to me at this point is this. If I believe that this is what God is calling us to do right now, then where and how have we got things so badly wrong? How have we drifted away from this calling? And how have we allowed the modern world and modern culture to distract us from the way of Jesus? John Mark Comer has many thoughts on this, and I'm not going to repeat everything that's written in the book. If you've got a copy of it at home, I'd urge you to just read the first couple of chapters. It won't take you long. But there's an amazing statistic in there which says that the average person touches their phone 2,617 times per day. And if you're a millennial, then you're likely to pick up your phone more than 100 times every single day. There was a study that was done that showed that just being in the same room as your mobile phone caused your memory and problem-solving skills to be reduced due to our reliance on our phones. If I look at how many hours I used my phone for just yesterday, I see that my screen was on for over 6 hours. And I was shocked by that. And I imagine if you looked at your screen time, how long your phone was on yesterday, you too may be incredibly surprised by what you discover. 2,617 times a day we touch our phones on average. And that's across all ages. Now, this is just one slightly frightening statistic. And I'll say right now that I don't feel that I'm glued to my phone, but I think that that's part of the problem. How many things around us are causing us to become distracted in the modern world from the person that God wants us to be without us ever even knowing that they are a distraction? I also wonder what type of person you are. Are you a picker-upper? Or can you leave your phone the moment it pings? Perhaps you've been trained by your work to instantly respond the moment you receive a message. We've conditioned ourselves to say that we're good friends if we rush to respond to a text that they send or pick up the phone immediately to them. Our need to access information instantly has led us down this path that seemingly knows no end. Right now, I could ask my watch what time the sun's going to go down or what the weather's going to be tomorrow, and it comes back to me within seconds with an answer. And if it doesn't respond quickly, I get incredibly frustrated at why it's not giving me what I want at the speed of light, it feels like. It's crazy how we've gotten used to expect an instant response, both from inanimate objects like watches and phones, but also from real people. But it's not just technology that fights for our time, attention, and can distract us from the really important parts of life. As lockdown hit us early last year, I wonder what happens to your weekly schedule. One family that I spoke to early on in the pandemic last year, it was around April time, really struggled to work out what they would do with all of this time that they now had. They were so used to the weekly routine that kept everyone busy all the time. Every day was planned out meticulously that when everything stopped, they didn't know what to do. I know for me, when I was a child, I went to as many clubs and activities as I possibly could. I loved playing sport, so when I was in my teenage years, I went through a phase of having something on every single day and night of the week. My parents took me to so many different places to play so many different sports, and they were always rushing round after both me and my sister, trying to work out how to fit everything in around us. Perhaps you can still remember what that felt like. Now, me and Becca don't have kids, but from speaking to families, I know that for people who were used to taking their kids everywhere, this has been a very strange time. But it has also been an opportunity to spend time together more, to do things like play board games, to cook together, eat together, do family again. But isn't it shocking that it's taken a global pandemic to make this happen? Our culture has got us into this mindset of if you're not busy, then you're not making the most of life. You have this fear of missing out compared to everyone else. I mean, is that what life is all about? Just not missing out on anything? Or perhaps an even simpler example of where we are going wrong is in the acceptance of how we respond when someone asks how you are. One of the most common replies I hear when I ask someone how they are is this: yeah, I'm okay. I'm a bit busy, but I'm okay. And we all acknowledge that that's how everyone else is. We're a busy people. And I want to say this morning that something is wrong with our world. And I don't just mean COVID. For many people, it's taken this global pandemic to realize it, but we have to admit that we have a problem. But I'm actually here this morning to say that it's way worse than that. Because being busy or spending our time hurrying all the time is very, very sneaky. It creeps up on us because it isn't actually a sin. It isn't something that's wrong to be busy. It's not wrong to use your phone a lot in a distracted manner or to take your kids to 24 different activities per week in a frantic hurry. But how many times do these things get in the way, consciously or subconsciously, of our relationship with God? What are all of these distractions doing to our minds and souls, and how can we become the people that God wants us to be? As we heard from the words of Jesus earlier, Jesus never intended for us to be people who hurry around all the time. Jesus invites all of us to take up the easy yoke. He has an easy way to shoulder the weight of life through love, joy, and peace, and he enables us to live freely and to live lightly. And if you think back to every story that you can ever remember about Jesus, I challenge you to think of a time, a single time, when Jesus hurried. Jesus waited 30 years before preaching, apart from that one time in the temple. And straight after his baptism, he took 40 days of time to unhurry his life and to draw closer to God before starting his ministry. When Lazarus was unwell, Jesus didn't rush to him. In the story we looked at NBC Kids a few weeks ago, we looked at the amazing story from Mark chapter 5 about how when Jairus' daughter was sick and about to die, Jesus didn't rush to her. In fact, in that moment, Jesus took time to help someone else who was unwell, and then he went to Jairus' daughter and healed her. In that moment, the crowds were all around him. The Bible uses the incredible words that the crowds pressed against him. They were moving with him from one place to the next. And in the middle of this chaotic crowd, Jesus stops. He felt someone touch his cloak and he turns around and asks, "Who touched my clothes?" Jesus stopped where he was. He stopped where he was traveling to and he turned around. Jesus was so present in that moment. But the disciples and everyone else in the crowd were so focused on what was coming next There were grumbles of, look, there's loads of people around. Anyone could have touched you. How can you say that one person touched you in particular? We've got to keep moving because we've got to hurry to Jairus' house. His daughter's unwell and she's going to die if we don't rush there right this moment. But the Bible says that Jesus turned around and he kept looking to see who had done it. And if you know the story, then you'll know that it goes on to say that Jesus healed the woman who touched his cloak and then went and raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. In that moment, Jesus showed that he was present for everyone who was in that crowd. And he teaches us that we should be willing to turn around where we are and be present for people when they need us. Jesus came to the world for a very specific mission, to save humanity. A more important, time-critical mission than anything you or I do in our weeks. But how many times whilst Jesus was on that mission, did he stop? Did he go and have dinner with people? How many times did Jesus stop and respond to what he saw right there in that moment? With no time limits, nothing to rush away to. There were many times when Jesus was asked a question and he decided to just stop and talk it through with them. He often did it around a meal. He stopped. He said, okay, let's go. Which way is your house? I'm coming to your house for tea and we're going to talk about this. We're going to spend time looking at this. Now just imagine for a moment if Jesus hadn't lived like this. Imagine if Jesus was so busy that he didn't stop for the tax collector in the tree, or the lady with the chronic illness, or the person who was lowered down from the roof, or the blind man by the side of the road. We'd miss out on so much amazing teaching that we see through the New Testament. And I think that the disciples learned an awful lot about how to be present with people through the way that Jesus moved from one place to the next. Infinitely interruptible for anyone that needed to experience the love, joy, and peace that Christ provides. Jesus could never have loved people in the way that he did if he was hurried. He could never have been there for the people around him, and he certainly couldn't have made time for the people that needed him most if he wasn't an unhurried kind of guy. John Mark Comer's book says that love and hurry are two things that are incompatible with one another. And Jesus was someone that knew that better than anyone else. Jesus was never in a hurry, and we as Christians are called to walk in his steps and to follow his example. This doesn't mean withdrawing from normal life and adopting a very self-contained, almost monistic life. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus led an active life in the world without the clutter, distractions, and chronic busyness that fills our lives today. And that's the same for so many other heroes of faith we read about in the Bible. David, Moses, Peter, Paul were just some of the people that we observe that spent long periods of time unhurried. Sometimes it was because of their circumstances, but other times it was because they knew that it was what they had to do. In all of those moments, they were focused, they had priorities, and they were in tune with the rhythm that God wanted them to follow along with. No matter where they were or what they were doing, their internal compass was pointing towards God, his presence, his will, and his purposes. Now, our Bibles are full of ways that we can do just this, ways that we can learn these rhythms by which we can become the person God wants us to be, present, unhurried, and interruptible for his sake. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to go on a journey to unpack some solutions to how we, as the people of God, can do this. We're going to look at some great spiritual practices that can help bring us closer to God. And that's my prayer over this Lenten period, that we, as a whole church, draw closer to God, that we become less distracted from his calling on our lives, and that we become freer as a result of us coming nearer to the path that he wants us to take, for us to be the person that God wants us to be. And perhaps for some of us, that's going to require us to turn around, just like Jesus did, turn around totally from what we have been doing in order to find refuge in the Father's loving arms. Now, perhaps this week, before we start diving into some solutions to our problem over the coming weeks, you might find it useful to do a bit of a self-examination. Think about the moments in your week when you find yourself hurrying, and identify if they are getting in the way of you living how Jesus calls you to live. Ask yourself the question, how am I actually doing? How am I doing emotionally? And am I walking in the rhythms of grace that Jesus calls me into? The world out there is crazy. And it's okay to not be okay. That's what we are here for over these next few weeks, to go on this journey together as a community and to grow in Christ as we follow his footsteps. Now, as we finish today, I want to take a moment of pause, a moment of quiet, and for us to all take a big breath right now. I'd encourage you, wherever you are, however you're sat or whatever, if you're running, maybe don't do this, but I'd encourage you to close your eyes. And after a few moments of quiet and pause and unhurried, I want to pray over you the invitation that Jesus gave us to live differently and to live well. So let's pray. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Lord Jesus, we want to be people full of love. And we want to love you well and love others well. Help us to slow down and point our compass back in your direction and guide us towards where you want us to be. Amen.